Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner. He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown, Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Buckeyes come in at number 4 in the college football playoff rankings. A little annoyed about that. What are your thoughts on that, Cass?
That's the first ranking. I'm not too mad about it or anything. I get it. I also don't understand it, but it's the first ranking. We're in the top 4. That's all that matters at the end of the day. As long as we're in the top 4, yes, matchups do matter, but everything will fall into place by the end of the season.
I'm not mad that we're in the top 4. I'm mad that they have a one-loss Clemson over us because they don't get penalized for not having a Trevor Lawrence with COVID, but Ohio State gets penalized for missing games due to COVID, stuff that's completely out of our control. It's just that whole logic doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't see how you could put a one-loss Clemson team ahead of Ohio State, even if we've played fewer games. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I totally agree.
BYU all the way. I think they're 14. That's so disrespectful. They got
Oregon being 15th was disrespectful.
Yeah, Georgia 9. That is stupid. That is so stupid. I don't understand why they are always overhyped. Other than that, though, I mean, A&M, I don't think is the 5th best team in the country. You got to put them over at Florida, though, because they beat them head-to-head. But right. A&M is not the 5th best team.
Right. So you'll be listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, but as of right now, the Illinois game, we'll touch base. Could possibly be in jeopardy, but I don't think I see it because Ohio State's Twitter page basically showed out saying, check out our Sub-Zero uniforms that we're wearing this weekend, noon kickoff on FS1 10 minutes ago. I think the Buckeyes are going to do anything and everything to play.
It's from what I've read, it's about several COVID tests I think it's as high, the number I've seen is 8. Still below the threshold. So we'd be okay. My biggest fear is Illinois trying to make an excuse not to play this one. Because Ohio State's going to find a way. We'll play. If Justin Fields has COVID, we're going to trot C.J. Stroud or Jack Miller out there, the ghost of Cardale Jones. It doesn't matter. We'll call some guy up. We'll beat Illinois without Justin Fields if he has it. It's just we got to play this game.
I think here's the thing. I think it all depends. It could be a Justin Hilliard situation. Mm-hmm. So it also what's going to happen, those 7 or 8 players will not practice the rest of the week. They'll quarantine. Ohio State will travel without them and tell Illinois, say, hey, there was no more positive tests. And we're ready to play.
And it's completely different than the Clemson situation, because the Clemson situation, that happened the day of the game. So that I can understand. Now, Dabo's hilarious. That guy is so hyper focused on just football and like winning the national championship. He doesn't care about COVID, and him just starting beef with Florida State this week, and Mike Norvell going back at it with him, which is hilarious to me. But it's a different situation because it's Wednesday. They caught this early. There's still time to test. And as long as the Buckeyes fall within the guidelines, they're going to play. If Illinois refuses to play, that's a problem. That should be a forfeit.
Yeah, I see the Buckeyes playing this week.
Absolutely. And it's a rivalry, the coveted Illibuck.
Speaking of which, I really don't want to touch base on the Indiana game just because that's past tense. We won 42-35. Justin Fields turned the ball over three times. You know, the secondary got shredded. Marcus Hooker couldn't guard Dan coming out of the slot. I don't care. Legend Covacious did lose his black stripe. And just by seeing the practice highlights, the dude is a dog. He's batting passes down from Olave and Wilson. Get that guy on the field right now.
We got to talk about the Illinois game. We got to. I mean, not the Illinois, the Indiana game. We got to. Just offensively, no complaints, really, other than Justin Fields. The one thing that was just
human.
He was human. He was trying to do too much, I think, if you watch that. Mm-hmm. Way too much. He was – and some of these throws he was making, it was like, why are you just throwing these – just throw it away. He was holding the ball too long, and it got exposed. It's so correctable, though. It's just if you get pressured, there's no one open, throw it out of bounds. We would have been fine. We were running the ball great. Master Teague had probably the best game of his career. Garrett Wilson's a freaking monster. Chris Olave started out slow but bounced back. It was just really on offense, Justin Fields just making some weird, wonky decisions that I've never seen out of him before that I think he can easily correct. So I'm not concerned there. Secondary's terrible, though, Cass. Literally, Sean Wade – I mean, Sean Wade didn't have a great game again. He had the pick six that won the game for us, but he had a hard time on Freifogel. But it was Hooker, I think. Hooker – I don't know why they're playing one high safety, because that guy can't make the basic high school reads. And as a former safety, there's a thread on Twitter. Ryan Day Homer, the Homer Ryan Day, he posted, broke it down. There's like six or seven plays where Marcus Hooker makes the incorrect read by like a mile. And it's concerning, because that's like basic stuff that like, either he should know or the coaches should have addressed.
And why was Strada Mitchell one-on-one with a freaking DB? I mean, with a wide receiver. That didn't make sense.
That's not his fault either. You can't put him in that position. And then the safety has to get over there too.
Yeah. My biggest thing with the corners is the coverage is there.
Uh-huh.
They're losing 50-50 balls. They should not be losing 50-50 balls.
It feels like every 50-50 ball is like a 95-5 ball this year. Like, I think the one pass breakup Sean Wade had was like the first one I think I've seen. And Sean Wade had the best game of it this season so far, but he still struggled. Freifogel, you know, had a big day against him.
The corners are there. Seven Banks and Wade are there. They're
Proctor's there too.
Proctor's just lazy in practice.
Yeah, he's not lazy on kickoff, though.
No. Overall, the linebackers are elite. The defensive line's elite. They put pressure on Penix. Penix just gets the ball out, and his trust his receivers. Penix, I was wrong about Indiana. That's a very, very good football team, and they may not win. They may not lose another game this year.
No, that was – I mean, I had a bad taste in my mouth after the game because it's Indiana, and – I was just a little confused. I'm like, I still didn't believe Indiana was a top team. But after going back reviewing the film, they're very well coached. Quarterback Penix Jr., he's a stud. Receivers are great. I mean, Indiana played a heck of a game. They're absolutely a top. I honestly don't think they should have gone down in their ranking from losing that one. I think they should still be number 9 in the country. But Indiana, I was very impressed with how they played. And people forget too. People are like, oh, it was a close game. They made it close at the end, but Ohio State had a 28-point lead at one point.
And the thing, like Ryan Day has said, preached all week, we have to learn to finish games.
And it's key. It's absolutely the truth. So, but moving on from Indiana, Illinois, we think we'll have a game Saturday. We're hopeful.
I'm pretty sure there will be a game.
I know Ohio State's going to do everything in their power to make this happen. It's just a question, is Lovie Smith and them going to make it happen?
I think they will.
I do too. I have faith in them. But let me let's kind of break it down, Cass. I mean,
let's break down the history. Like every year, Ohio State 68 wins, 4 ties, 30 losses to Illinois. The Illibuck Trophy used to be a live turtle. Now it's a wooden turtle that Ohio State is a current streak of 15. That's the longest streak was from 68 to 82, was 15 games, but now it's a current streak of 8. The last loss was in 2007. Juice Williams, Illibuck, Illinois. It feels like it's been forever since we played them.
It has been, and then I believe the last time we played was 2018, right?
With 17. 2017.
2017,
JT
yeah.
Barrett.
JT Barrett. Yeah, and Dwayne Haskins. It was raining. Dwayne Haskins came in the game. He fumbled it. They put him back in. Yeah. I mean, it's always an – we always smack Illinois, though, in recent history. I mean, offensively, they don't scare me. Not at all.
I think the secondary shows up this week. Nobody can run it. Nobody in the Big Ten can run against us. I think we allowed negative 1 yards total rushing last week. And the two starting running backs, Stevie Scott, I can't think of the other guy's name, had a combined total of rushing 22 yards. I mean, that's insane. The Buckeyes linebackers and D-line, Illinois is going to have a hard time.
I mean, Illinois – Their quarterback situation, it's not good right now. Right now, they're starting Corin Taylor. I mean, Brandon Peters was a starter at one point. Not sure what's going on there.
He had COVID.
Because, yeah. I mean, the quarterback's completion percentage as a team right now, 51.3%. And they've passed for 797 yards on the year. They've thrown 3 picks. This is a game where I think our secondary can dominate. I think this is a get-right game for our secondary. If we don't get right against Illinois, that's a problem. Because they cannot – they might be probably one of the worst throwing teams in the Big Ten. They have one decent receiver, Josh Amader Habibi. I can't even pronounce his name. He's their senior receiver, leading receiver. Has 215 yards, 2 touchdowns on 15 catches. So he's definitely their big play guy. But Sean Wade should win that. And I say should because, I mean, if it's a 50-50 ball, I don't know at this point. But there's no one on offense that scares me for Illinois. They got 2 running backs, Mike Epstein and Chase Brown. And they're decent. I mean, I'll give them credit. They're decent. They both have over 300 yards, a couple touchdowns on the season. They're doing actually a decent job running the ball too. Both are averaging about 6 yards a carry. And they have a running quarterback, Isaiah Williams. He's a freshman. They'll do some packages with him and everything. So, I mean, offensively though, they're so limited, Cass. Right. They're so limited.
It's going to be a matchup nightmare. And then offensively for us, it's another matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, Master Teague could go over 200 yards. Maybe Trey Sermon finally gets going. I thought Trey Sermon had a good game when he was in there. But I thought Master Teague was going to have a good game, but I did not think he was going to explode off the off the, you know, the field like that.
I'll give Illinois credit. Their secondary is not bad. On the season so far, they have 7 total interceptions. That's pretty good for a college secondary, considering they've only played, I believe, 5 games. They're averaging more than 1 a game. They're taking the ball away. They got a decent defense. I will give them credit there, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they haven't matched up with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave.
No, they played. I mean, they played kind of, you know, Rutgers. They beat Rutgers, Nebraska, Purdue, Wisconsin. So, they played.
Parting of the game that could possibly get canceled, which I highly doubt, if Austin Ward is stating this out, we know we have a lot of questions at Letterman Raw. We'd like to pass along whatever confidently report at the appropriate time. The Woody was still open for meetings and still practicing today. We're told the Buckeyes are still on track to play at Illinois right now. So the only people that are going to cancel this game, in my opinion, is going to be the Big Ten.
Yeah, unless Kevin Warren steps in and cancels it, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. I'm just scrolling through Twitter right now because this, like we said, this literally happened 10 minutes before we were going to start recording. So we're trying to catch up, gather as much information as we can. Awesome. I mean, I got to go with Austin Ward here. I do believe him. I mean, he wasn't honestly fully accurate with the whole Big Ten situation either with Kevin Warren. No one was, though.
No, but I think him being around that program a lot, being around Ohio State, I kind of agree with Letterman Road, Tin May, and all them. I kind of tend to believe they're going to play this week.
It's wishful thinking. My heart's telling me yes. My head's telling me no. It's just frustrating because this is a game Ohio State would just – this was a game we needed, I think, just to get right, get a nice, easy win under our belt. And it would give us some leeway if, like, God forbid, Michigan State or that team up north canceled the game. But now it's we're kind of playing the waiting game, and it's just frustrating again. I feel like this is like the 5th episode we've done this year where we're just like, why is this happening? It's not even about football anymore. And I'm sure those listening right now, you wish it was about football. I wish I could be breaking down the X's and O's of Illinois and talking about how, you know, the Indiana game more, but it's just, we don't know. And it's so, and no one, I don't think the players know. And that's why it's so just irritating at this point. It's people just want to watch us play football. And it feels like everything in the world is happening to stop the Buckeyes from playing this season.
Yeah. But I think what I've, you know, things I've been reading on Twitter, you know, I think personally the Buckeyes are going to play.
I do too, but.
Speaking of Buckeyes, let's switch over. I mean, keys to victory.
Real quick, Tim May just tweeted out 18 seconds ago. Ohio State football is still good to go for a game at Illinois on Saturday, according to several impeccable sources. Despite several positive tests today, which the team has dealt with and isolated, of course, each day is a new challenge in this era. So Tim May has just basically confirmed this.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to listen to anybody, it's Tim May. I have my – now I'm at 75-25 that the game's going to get played.
Yeah.
So
– I'm feeling good. Unless someone gave him some bad info,
yeah,
which Tim May is the best in the biz. You got to go with Tim May,
by the way, too. Keys to victory and score prediction – for Big Cass, don't turn the ball over. Justin Fields, throw the ball out of bounds if you feel pressure.
Please.
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 Or take the sack. Or take the sack.
Don't take the sack. Just throw it away.
Offensive line, protect them. Protect them. And then defensively, I want to see 3 picks. I want to see three picks, three turnovers, force the ball, corners, force the ball, bat the ball down. Don't go for the pick. Win these 50-50 balls. And then my score prediction, 63-10, Buckeyes.
I like it. I'm going to go with my, by the way, my score prediction was pretty accurate last week.
Yeah.
I said 52-35 shootout. I was close. We should have made a field goal. I was a touchdown. I should have been a touchdown off, but I was 10 points off, but I got Indiana's score right. This one, I'm going to go. This is always the part where I got to think and do the math.
No field goals. I don't trust our field goal kicker.
No. What's eight touchdowns? Eight times seven. What's that?
56.
56. Yeah, I like 56. Illinois. 10. 56-10.
And I said 63-10?
Yeah, 56-10. Illinois will get some wonky touchdown. Like in the late second, early third quarter, and they'll kick a field goal either like in the first quarter or in the third. But this should be an absolute massacre as usual, and the Yellow Buck will remain in the great state of Ohio.
Speaking of great state of Ohio, our boys are back on the hardwood. I didn't get to watch it.
Oh,
but I watched the highlights.
I woke up today, bro. I was watching at work. I got my Ohio State basketball shirt on. I watched every second of that game on the clock today. And, you know, if my boss is listening to this, fire me. I don't care. I watched it.
All I have to say is I told everybody last year that Justice Suing was the best player that was not playing.
So and good.
That dude is a dog.
So good.
Almost had a double-double. Kyle Young was great, fantastic. I know he only had 8 points, but he's a guy that doesn't need to go double digits.
No. And you know what? It's okay. We don't need to beat him up because the greatest thing happened today, Cass. Zed Key. We have found another big man. Zed Key. This guy stepped in, had a game, like an amazing game. I love Zed Key. Literally – My new favorite Buckeye. Like, just assuming he's a monster. Dude, Zed Key stepped...
We still don't have Seth Towns either.
Well, he got into a car accident. Zed Key came in the game, 12 points, 5 rebounds, playing center, too. Like, playing center for Ohio State. He is... Like, my fear of not having another big guy behind Kyle Young, absolutely terrified. Zed Key's the answer. He was awesome.
And you have EJ Liddell who balled out.
EJ Liddell played great, but he's going to play that four. And then even Diallo got in the action. Like, Diallo only played 7 minutes. He had a point and had 2 rebounds, but it was honestly a perfect start to the season. 94 points. We were explosive. We were like up 17-0 in the game. I am so – like, this team was playing so good, and I'm so excited to just talk about this because I can't talk about COVID and Illinois and this stuff. It's just such a drag. Ohio State basketball is back, and Justice Suing, he missed one shot the whole game. Monster. We have a shooter. We have a scorer. We haven't had a guy who could score like that since – I don't like Kata Bates-Diop or D'Angelo Russell. It just looked natural. Dwayne Washington didn't even play a good game, had 12 points. EJ Walker, them two didn't really do much, but it was just Justice Suing. EJ Liddell, buckets. It was, man, I'm just so excited for this team because all the questions that I had about the size, who's going to play where, I think it got answered the first game. And if this is going to be our lineup and everyone stays healthy, plus we get Seth Towns back because he was in a car accident. He's been hurt and he got into a car accident today. He's okay. He showed up to the game late. He wasn't playing. He was just fender bender. Everything's good, but we get him back. This team is poised. This team is literally going to be, I think, better than last year because they move the ball around so well. They have better shooters. I mean, you're replacing Luther Muhammad great defender, but Justice Suing, unreal player, unreal.
This is big news, too, for the Buckeyes, especially in a very, very deep Big Ten. Illinois is going to be good. Iowa's going to be really good. Rutgers is right there. Michigan's right there. Ohio State. Michigan State's always good. And then we play that stupid game against Minnesota, like I elaborated last week. And I really like this team. Now, my thing is Zed Key, Kyle Young, and EJ Liddell has got to be ready for Luka Garza when that time comes.
I'm telling you, Zed Key is the real deal. Watching the first, his first minutes, dude came in and was playing like EJ Liddell was playing last year at the end of the season. That's what he looked like EJ Liddell at the end of the year. He was reminding me of and he's a big body too. I had no idea. And that's probably on me, what position he was going to play. I thought he was more like a four. This guy is a center. He's 6'8". He's beefy. He could definitely – he has some muscle to him. He's going to be the answer for Ohio State. I'm on the Zed Key train. I'm about to go out and buy a jersey. It was just so nice finding out these two new guys coming in. And by the way, Caleb Wesson, he just got signed a few minutes ago while we were doing this.
By the Warriors.
Yeah. Great. It's all right. I mean, it's a good situation for Caleb, though. Actually, that's probably a phenomenal situation because they love shooting three-pointers, and he's the best three-point shooter in the draft at his position. So that's honestly an awesome spot for him.
Mm-hmm. So they play UMass Lowell or Lau or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Lowell. Who Bobby Carpenter said the other day that they were the worst team he's ever seen the Buckeyes play live in the shop. So another big, best thing about being 1-0 is going 2-0 for this Buckeye basketball team. Unfortunately, the women's didn't get to play tonight. It was canceled. Akron had some COVID tests. So hopefully women's can get back out there and get on the hardwood and bring back some victories that they've been lacking the past couple of years.
Yeah, the good news is if the game gets canceled for COVID, I don't think missing the game against UMass Lowell is going to make or break Ohio State getting into the tournament. They play on Sunday, 4 p.m. The only thing that made me sad today was just seeing the shot empty, man. It hurt me. And just them scoring 80 points and no one was there to get the Big Mac. Killed me, man. Freaking killed me. Killed me as a fan.
I think they should give the players free Big Macs.
They should give it out like via Twitter or something. Like first 100 people to retweet this get, or I don't know.
Well, Ohio's the shot holds what, 20,000 almost? Mm-hmm. First 19,000 retweets gets a free Big Mac.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Real quick, before we get off here, oh, we got our
picks.
Before that, Thanksgiving Day, I just want to thank you all give out thanks. Thanks to all the fans. Thank you for all of our fans, our 2,800 Twitter followers, and we this podcast has grown a lot in the COVID year. That if we could say one positive thing that COVID has done for our podcast, and that's the audience and the growth that this podcast has had in the last nine months. So I just want to say thank you for all the fans and for being out there and all of our listeners and being loyal.
Yeah, I'm absolutely, Cass. I'm just thankful for Buckeye Nation and our, even if you don't listen to the podcast, if you're just a fan of Buckeye Nation, the people who showed up to the rally in August, Ryan Day, Chris Holtman, all the players, Justin Fields. I'm just thankful for just to be a fan of the greatest athletic program, an alumni of the greatest college in America. Sue me if you think I'm wrong. I don't care. It's the best college in America. And I'm just thankful to live in the great state of Ohio.
Thanks, Fox Sports, for putting up with Big Cast during the home games this year. I'm having a blast. Got to fist pump Gene Smith the other day.
Yeah.
Had the best seat in the house during for the Ohio State Indiana game, and got paid and got Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Cass, man, you made an absolute killing last week at the Indiana game. But enough of what we're thankful for. Let's get into our dumb picks, man. And and this is an interesting week because we got a couple games tomorrow. I don't think it's anything good. Unless you're interested in 0-4 Utah State. We might pick it. I don't know. Maybe just. We also got some Friday games and some Saturday games.
Real quick, what that team up north is up to. Triple overtime to beat Rutgers. Is Cade McNamara, whatever his name is, the answer at their quarterback woes?
He is, I think, the next Tate Forcier. That's what I would describe him as. That's Tate Forcier 2.0. He's going to come in. He's going to win a game or two. He'll beat Maryland. He'll beat, you know, someone else.
Slaughtered by the Buckeyes.
And then we're going to slaughter him. And then the cycle will repeat itself. He's going to have like a John O'Korn performance against us. It's Rutgers. And that was the best Rutgers game I've ever seen in my life. That was electric, and it was a beautiful moment. Every single Buckeye fan on Twitter, on the internet, that moment, just rooting for Rutgers to pull that off. And they were so close. We were cheering for you guys. But Greg Schiano, good job, man. I have nothing bad about to say about Rutgers now. You guys are going in the right direction. I will say this, though. Watching that game, I missed having Brendan White in our secondary. I'm just thinking, dude, you could have stayed one more year. Like, you would be a first round pick if you stayed. I guarantee you. He's playing great for Rutgers. Like, he's in on every tackle, plays phenomenal defense. But imagine having Brendan White out there instead of Marcus Hooker.
Right. Oh, speaking of that, this is a lot of anniversaries for the Ohio State Michigan game. Three years ago, 17, Dwayne Haskins comes in off the bench and beats that team up north. And then in 2012, Urban Meyer's first game, the leading tackler was a fullback named Zach Bourne with the iconic standing over Devin Gardner's head. This week should have been the Michigan week, but unfortunately COVID happened.
I know. Dude, it's weird. My body's telling me it is that week too. I'm out of rhythm because I'm thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be crossing out M's. I'm supposed to be jumping into a cold body of water, but it's not for another couple of weeks. It's weird. It's tough. It's Thanksgiving. It's a tradition. Thursday, you eat. Friday, you shop. Saturday, you kick that team up north's ass.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers real quick. Go out to Texas State. Defensive back Kimbrell Winters, his family. He was fatally shot during a drug deal last night in San Marcos, Texas.
Damn.
So
that's not good. That's bad.
No. But, all right. Two dumb picks.
Dumb picks. That was a sad note, but week 13.
How about Friday with some matchups, man?
Some bangers.
Let's start right at the top. ABC High Noon, Iowa State at Texas. I didn't even know Texas was ranked in the top 25 until last night during the college football playoff ranking show. Texas is a 1-point favorite, but give me the Cyclones, man. I really like the Cyclones.
This is a huge game. Just because this has
Big 12 championship.
This has Big 12. Yeah, you're absolute Big 12 championship
aspirations.
Absolutely. Aspirations. Like, it's Iowa State's 6-1 in the conference, and Oklahoma's 5-2. Texas is 4-2. I'm going with Iowa State, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Oklahoma. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback.
I like Iowa State, too.
They're currently top dog in the conference. I got to go with the Cyclones, too.
Yeah. Notre Dame at North Carolina. Nobody cares about the Nebraska-Iowa game. I don't care what anybody says.
sorry, our Nebraska fans.
Yeah.
We love you guys. I'll watch it, but we're not picking it.
3:30 on ABC. Wow, ABC's got some killer games. Get Notre Dame at North Carolina. This screams upset. I don't know why. It does.
It does.
You know
Sam
what?
Howell.
I want to take North Carolina just because I want to see the playoff committee lose their shit over this. So give me the Tar Heels.
And I was I agree. And I was stressing. I've been stressing. Why is Notre Dame number two? I know they're not the number two team. North Carolina is better than the record says, I think. I do think North Carolina will win this because people forget. North Carolina was like number five at one point, I think, this year.
And they got smacked by Florida State.
But Florida State put points on Notre Dame. Like, Florida State dropped, like, I think, like 20, 28 or 30 on Notre Dame. So, like, Florida State moved the ball well on them. I think North Carolina could do this.
Yeah. Also think so, too. All right, Saturday. I don't care about the Civil War. I don't care about any more games on Friday. Saturday, a lot of noon games.
What? Oh,
did I miss one?
No, I'm shocked. I'm looking at one of the games. This season's so wonky. I had no idea the Iron Bowl was this weekend.
Yeah, we won't start with that one though. Maryland at Indiana. Maryland hasn't played in 2 weeks. Indiana's coming off a loss. A tough loss. Could this be a trap game for him? I don't think so. Give me Michael Penix and the Hoosiers.
Yeah, give me the Hoosiers. The biggest concern here is just that post-Ohio State fatigue. It's like a lot. Not even a letdown. It's just like when you play a team like Ohio State, it takes a physical toll. Mm-hmm. It's if we beat you, you're going to be bruised and bloody for a week after. Maryland's fresh for the most part, other than the COVID tests, but you've also had 2 weeks to sit there. Indiana, they're going to be a little bruised and battered. I still think Indiana is a much better team than Maryland. Right. That's my keep your eye on it. I think Maryland could potentially pull the upset, but I'm going with Indiana.
Let me tell you this. Friday's games are better than Saturday's.
Yeah, I would say. We got the Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama.
Without Nick Saban. Nick Saban has COVID.
He does for like the fifth time this year. I feel like, dude has COVID every other week. he gets it, false positive. He gets it, false positive. He gets it, mild symptoms, false positive. I'm convinced he's just caught it every week now.
Give me Bama big, even without Nick Saban.
Auburn's not good. Like,
no,
they should have been.
How they're ranked 22 is just beyond me.
They're not. They're not a good team. It's Bo Nix is not a good quarterback. Alabama's going to be looking for revenge after last year, and this game is in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Bama all day. Unless Nick Saban literally drops dead, like from COVID, which he's not. He's probably going to coach Saturday knowing all this. Bama all the way.
All right. Other than that, there's no more good games on the rest of the week. But I am going to throw out Utah at Washington. It's always a sneaky one. Pac-12 after dark. I like this game. I really do.
Anytime, anywhere.
I really don't know who to pick in this game. I think I'm going to pick Utah because they're red and black.
I'm going to pick Utah because they're the only team from Utah that would play Washington this week. Yeah. So, because BYU chickened out. So I'll go with Utah as well.
Yeah. I don't – do we matched up every game together, I think?
We did, honestly. I mean, okay. I have no disagreements.
So let's do two more.
Okay, yeah.
Penn State at Michigan. Does Penn State get their first win of the season, or does Michigan win, prevail?
I'm going with Penn State.
I want to go Penn State, but I'll go with Wolverines.
I'm going with Penn State.
Just because James Franklin tweeted out a bunch of Michigan.
Letting, I mean, he is perfect on the season, so I can't see them going 0-6. I just can't. Like, Michigan, they took Rutgers to triple overtime. I gotta go with Penn State.
All right, that's our first disagreement. So that's the tiebreaker.
All right,
we could lose them all except for that one.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, the game that the Fox crew was supposed to be at. Undefeated San Jose State at Boise State. I got to tell this story, folks.
Yeah, please tell the story for everyone. So, this is pretty funny.
Pre-game about an hour before, hour and a half before kickoff. I'm up in the booth, you know, delivering handbags for Gus and Joel. Joel's up there getting ready before he had to go to the big noon kickoff. And the cameraman worked up there and says, and they're like, well, it sounds like we probably might be going to Boise next week. And they're like, oh, okay. And
they're like,
Joel's like, well, that'd be fun. And, you know, never been there before. What's the weather supposed to be like? Well, it's supposed to be 41 in the morning, but the wind, it's supposed to be clear skies and 20 by kickoff, which the kickoff's at 4 o'clock. And Joel, excuse my language, but I'm quoting him, said, fuck that. So, lucky enough, a day later, they announced that they're going to be in Champaign on Fox Sports 1 for the Ohio State. Which doesn't make sense because they have Texas Tech at Oklahoma State on regular Fox. So, but the big crew, Gus, Joel, and Jenny will be at the Ohio State Illinois game.
Hey, they might be rerouting to Boise. They might have to go to Boise depending on the way this situation goes.
I agree with Ten May that they're going to play though.
I do too. Fingers crossed, everybody, that we play. Just want to say, everyone, happy Thanksgiving. You know, spend it with your families. Watch the two worst NFL football games of the season tomorrow.
Yeah, because the Steelers Ravens postponed.
Yeah. Watch, you know, Lions Texans, and you get, this might be the worst day of football ever tomorrow. It's
for Thanksgiving. Lions, it's been Texans,
Cowboys Washington football team. And then 0-4 Utah State versus 0-4, I don't even know what the other
New Mexico team. Lobos.
New Mexico, yeah. Like, we got the worst football on tomorrow. Normally you would have the Egg Bowl, but we get these games.
Wait, the Egg Bowl not playing?
No, it's that's why I'm so confused. My mind's so confused because it's like it's supposed to be Michigan week, the Egg Bowl tomorrow.
The Egg Bowl's not even on the Saturday slate.
I think they pushed it back. Like, it's season so confusing. The rivalries are all – we got the Civil War, though, on Friday between Oregon and Oregon State. So, that's a dandy.
Well, there is a rivalry at 1 o'clock on Friday. Nebraska – 1 o'clock on Fox on Friday. Nebraska and Iowa.
Yeah, it's –
is that even a rivalry game? Like, I don't even – like, I don't
it's,
even know.
It's a makeshift rivalry. Oh, let's – pick that one. Go Big Red.
Go Iowa.
Go Big Red. Go. Shout out Nebraska. You guys will win that.
All right. Good. Thank you all. Thanksgiving. Enjoy with your family. And again, thank you, Buckeye Nation, for being there and as our supporters. Don't know how far Dan and I would be without you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And as always, go Bucks.